Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Snow. We thought we made it out of this winter scot-free, but it's catching us here at the end. Well, it is Baptism Sunday, as was already mentioned throughout all of our services today. We are baptizing 12 people, which is so great. And we are baptizing some young people today in this service. So great. And then the rest of the people are young at heart that are getting baptized. That is the highlight of our service today, but we're going to be diving into part five of our series called True Image, and we're really talking about the subject of identity and how important this is. And the world, the culture at the moment, this cultural moment that we're living in today has a lot to say about identity, but thank God, if we go to the Word of God, we can find out what God says about our identity, because this is what we want to embrace. Is what does God say about our identity? What does God say about who we are in Christ? And not just to fall for what's being propagated in this moment and talked about, that God actually has some very specifics for us to understand about who we are in Christ and how important this is. When we think about identity, really it is just who you are. It's an amalgamation of your memories, your experiences, your relationships, the values that you have, the characteristics that go to make up a person. So again, when we think about our experiences, we've had some good and bad experiences. We've maybe valued some correct things or some wrong things in our lives. And so who we are to this moment may or may not be the identity that we should have in Christ. And so what we are talking about in this series is that we want to intentionally choose the identity that God is giving to us, not, again, what the world would be saying that we should consider as an identity, but actually say, God, who have you made me to be? And understand how important this is, because what we identify with and who we identify as becomes the place from which we live. And so it affects all of our lives. It affects all of our decisions, and we want to live in Christ. So we want to have this true image of who we are, who God has made us to be in Christ. The word image just means likeness, resemblance of heavenly things, a holy and blessed state of mind. So again, there is blessed ways to think. There are ways that are better to think than to other ways to think. And so what we want to embrace and think about in this series as we consider all these different things is, what is God asking us to choose? That he's calling us something. Are we choosing the thing that God calls us to be? And who God calls us to be? Or are we just going to take on offer what is out there in the world? And again, what's happening in the world in this moment is just a philosophy. It's a branch of thinking that we see in the 2020s that didn't exist 20 years ago or didn't exist 30 years ago. And each decade that we can look at in history has issues of its own. But thank God in this moment, the Word of God has an answer for us so that we don't have to be confused, because a lot of people are confused about this subject right now. But God clarifies these things for us. The Word of God shows us who we are in Christ, that we don't have to be confused, that we don't have to embrace the talk around identity that the world would offer to us. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Colossae, says something very similar to this in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. He says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So for those of us that are Christ followers, that are roots, that how we think about life should be established in our faith, should be rooted in Christ. Yes, we said yes to Jesus, but then our faith, how we walk, how we live our lives, should be dictated, conditioned by, taught to us by the Word of God. And not this. Verse 8, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit." And again, what's on offer to us in this moment as it relates to the subject of identity, we can be taken captive by it because we feel like there's no other way to think. And this is everybody's talking this way, and maybe I should talk this way, but it's a confusing way to talk. And we're seeing people being confused by this whole subject. And so, again, a philosophy is just a way, a branch of thinking. It's a good study for you to do sometime in history and see all these philosophies. But we don't want to be taken captive by empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the spirit of the age, again, has on offer to us something to think as it relates to this topic, and not according to Christ. In other words, rooted in God, rooted in who God says we are. And this is such an important thing, because as we've been talking about in this series, we see in the Word of God that we are created in the image of God. This is what we talked about the first week in this series. And then we are remade by Christ. We're going to be talking about this subject of redemption and righteousness today. And this is what our candidates are going to be celebrating today, that what they are saying, that is, we identify with Christ. God has said something to me about my righteousness and that he has redeemed me. And this is what we celebrate on Water Baptism Sunday. And so God has ways for us to think around these terms, that our lives would be rooted in God, rooted in Christ, and we don't have to be taken by the philosophies of man. So we want to find our identity in Christ, not just in our feelings, not just in our past. Last week we talked about moving past our past. We talked about two different guys and then how they threw themselves on the grace and mercy of God, not just being subject to the mistakes that they made or their family of origin. That God wants us to receive the identity that he gives to us. Because this cultural moment will tell us, just be true to yourself, express yourself, be your authentic self. And it's just an individualistic way of thinking about who we are. And this is what we are given. This is what's being taught to us here in the West. But again, we aren't supposed to be just defined by what culture says and what culture has on offer to us or what our experiences are. That God has an identity for us to embrace. And we see these phrases over and over again in the New Testament, and we're going to see a bunch today. That God is telling us and teaching us our identity in Christ, in him, through Christ. And in all of these statements, we're supposed to be like, this is who God says I am. And then we embrace that. We don't have to be confused as it relates to some other way about thinking through identity. So here is Acts chapter 17, verse 28. It says this, in him we live and move and have our being. Again, that phrase, in him. Our whole lives caught up in God. And this is how we're supposed to be thinking about ourselves. So today, briefly, we're just going to be talking about these two words. Can seem like really religious words, or maybe we don't know how to define them properly, but this word righteous and redeemed, again, this is what our candidates are celebrating today. They have received the righteousness of Christ, that God has redeemed them. They are testifying that this is true in their lives. Now, when we think about this word righteous, again, it just sounds religious, and somebody is like, I just don't know some religious terms. Here's the reality. There will always be an ask for righteousness. There will always be an ask from the people that you know, and then ultimately from God, what we're talking about today, for us to be righteous, to be in relationship with somebody. You have to know their conditions of righteousness, right? And you've heard me, if you've been around here, for you to be my friend, you need to be a Leafs fan. That is the condition of you and I being righteous with one another. And see, I give grace to Habs fans once in a while, especially if they're not born here, all these different things you've overheard. But here is the conditions of you being righteous with me. Now, my wife has conditions, right? Relationships, marriage has conditions of righteousness, right? For you to be in right standing with your spouse, there's certain ways of acting and living, and then certain ways that you don't go beyond. There's certain boundaries for us to not move past here. Otherwise, righteousness, right standing, will be broken. And it's the same way with God, that God has, the holy, ultimate, true God, has ways for us to live. And then scripture tells us all of us have fallen short. All of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How is it then that we are going to then be righteous with God? If we have broken the law of God, if we now are no longer right standing with God, how can we be that again? And the scripture gives us some understanding how we can be righteous with God. And this is, again, what we're celebrating today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says this, for our sake, he made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God. So that in him, everybody say in him, So what we've been talking about in this series, this is our identity given to us by God. In him, we might become the righteousness of God. So that Jesus took our place, that Jesus became sin, so that we could partake of the righteousness of God. And you never grow in righteousness. This is a state of being with God. This is what we're celebrating today. We haven't achieved righteousness. It's been given to us by what Jesus has done for us. He has accomplished something for us, so we celebrate it. We're excited about it. We're like, somebody has put their faith in God. Somebody has ceased from their own works. Somebody has stopped trying to make themselves righteous with God and received the gift of salvation. And this is what we celebrate. I want to be right with God. And again, righteousness just means a state of being. The actions of God in Christ Jesus provided for us righteousness. And this is what we celebrate in salvation. And then also in the scripture, we see righteous acts. In other words, the actions that we take are predicated on the fact that we are righteous with God. We don't do acts of righteousness to make ourselves right with God. But there are righteous acts, good things, good works, the scripture tells us, from this place of salvation. Because we have been made righteous, we then therefore do good things. And then the scripture also talks about self-righteousness. And this is the place that we don't want to be. This is what Jesus was always at odds with the Pharisees about, because they were self-righteous. In other words, they claimed that they were following all the laws of God, which they weren't. But they claimed that they were following all the laws of God, and they were pretending. They were putting on airs, and they were pretending they were better than everybody else because they were the religious leaders. And they had no humility about themselves that they said, I have accomplished the righteousness of God. We have fulfilled all of the laws. Self-righteousness. But what we want to do is we want to throw ourselves on the mercy of God. Here, Romans chapter 10, verse 3 talks about this. For being ignorant, it's kind of a harsh word, but ignorant just means you don't know. For being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. So again, here is what all religion attempts to do. That all religion will tell us there is some sort of set of rules for you to follow, and then therefore you might achieve nirvana, or you might make it to heaven if you do all of these things, your own righteousness, trying to establish your own righteousness and not receiving the righteousness of God. And this is our natural inclination a lot of times. Well, I'm just going to make it right. But we can't make it right with the holy God. He can only do it for us. We don't want to be ignorant of the righteousness of God. We don't want to try to establish our own, but we want to submit to, yield ourselves, receive the righteousness of God, and then have this be our identity. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says this, I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Righteous in accordance with a certain set of laws. And we can try to establish ourselves in the righteousness of the cultural moment by saying certain things and talking certain ways to try to establish our own righteousness with the God of culture. But God doesn't want us to try to achieve our own righteousness. He has on offer to us a relationship with himself that he wants us to receive and he wants us to walk in. That we wouldn't just boast in of ourselves, that we would say, God has done something for me, and we celebrate it today. Because people have put their faith in Jesus. And so this righteousness that we received should inspire for us to do good things. The righteousness of God should be on display in our lives. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says this, if you knew that he is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of him. So what's an evidence that we have been born of God, born again? that we're going to be practicing righteousness, that we're going to be doing the ways of God in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this, "Or you do not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you." So as followers of Jesus, we are carriers of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit lives in holy people. And you're thinking, I'm not holy. You're right. That's why we need the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is given to us so that we then can be carriers of the Holy Spirit. Because in and of ourselves, we can't achieve the righteousness of God. It's given to us as a gift. So the Holy Spirit is then dwelling on the inside of us. God's Spirit, the scripture tells us in the New Testament, doesn't dwell in buildings. He dwells in people. He's within you when we say yes to Jesus. So what is the scripture saying here? That we would glorify God in our body. Verse 20, "For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body." So in other words, God has something to say about what we do with our body. And that would be a good thing, right? Because you know, God created your body. You know, you didn't create your body, right? So God created your body, so he knows what and what you shouldn't do with your body. And so when we identify with the righteousness of God, we are saying, God, your Spirit is on the inside of us. You have bought me with a price. Paid for my life with the blood of Jesus. So I'm yielding my life to you. I'm identifying as the righteousness of God. This phrase, bought with the price, is another scriptural term called redemption. And when we say yes to Jesus, we experience redemption. We are the redeemed. And when we say that, we're boasting in God. You know, a lot of people criticize Christians. You know, oh, you Christians just think you're so perfect and you think you're so holier than thou. But ultimately, a true Christian is saying, no, I'm not, actually. I need a savior. I'm a mess, just like you, without Jesus. And what we experience as it relates to the righteousness of God is a gift based on what Jesus has done. And we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus, not in and of our own good works. Amen. And so when we boast in God. When we celebrate what God has done in us. Amen. Let's read here in Ephesians chapter 1. Let's talk about redemption for a second. It says, in him, do we see it again? So here is how he wants us to identify. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. That God redeems us by offering to us forgiveness. We are made right with God, not by becoming a Leafs fan. Do you get it? How are you made right with me? By you doing something. How are we made right with God? By receiving what he's done. It's a gift. It's given to us. We have been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, which he lavished upon us. God lavishes upon us forgiveness. Quit trying to achieve righteousness. It can only be received as a gift. Amen. Verse 9, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose. We'll talk about that next week, which we set forth in Christ as a plan in the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him, we have attained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first hope in Christ, we see the phrase again, to the praise of his glory. In him, verse 13, you also, when you heard of the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, believed in him, were sealed with the promise. Do we see in him, in Christ, a few times in those few paragraphs, in those few verses? Yeah, a ton. So in other words, this is how we're supposed to identify. And how are we identifying? That God has done something for us. I'm not just identifying with some sort of self-definition. some sort of way I'm feeling on the inside. No, God has done something for me in Christ. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in my body. That the acts of righteousness will show up in my life because I have been made righteous. He has bought me back. And this is what redeemed means. The scripture tells us that God owns us twofold. He created us, and then he bought us back in Christ. When we think about redemption, it means this: a payment has been made for us to be the righteousness of God, for us to be forgiveness. A payment has been made. The release of something through the payment of a price. This is what it means to be redeemed. When you're redeemed, something of value, Jesus, has been given for something else of value, you. Scripture says, for the joy set before him, that Jesus went to the cross because he saw the potentiality of you being in a relationship with God. And God loves you. Seems like a trite phrase. But he didn't just yell down from the sky, hey, I love you. Figure it out. No, he sent Jesus to be love on display for us. And redemption looks like sacrificial love. And this is the story of our universe. And, I've said this before, but in any hero movie, the hero has to sacrifice himself. And my kids are irritated because every time it happens, I'm like, sacrificial love. I'm like, Dad, stop it. That's why Iron Man had to die at the end of Endgame. I'm just telling you. It is actually the story. It's the story. It's the story that makes it into all the other stories. Because there's no other way to display love except to lay yourself down. And this is what Jesus said and taught us. So this redemption that we have at the core of it, at the heart of it, is that God loves us. Amen. He wants to be in relationship with us, and he's made a way for us. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, and we're almost done here before we dismiss our candidates. It says this: he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness, and not in us. It's not a righteousness of us. It's a righteousness that's been given to us. All right, so we're going to dismiss our candidates here, and we'll bring you back out in a second to baptize you. So guys can go ahead and head backstage. Let's give them a hand as they go. Before we baptize our candidates, we're talking today about righteousness, having right standing with God. And if you're here this morning, maybe somebody invited you to church and you're like, you don't actually have a relationship with God yet. You're trying on your own to make yourself righteous. Then everybody needs a starting place with God where you say yes to Jesus. So if you've never done that this morning, I'm going to pray a prayer here in a second. I invite you to pray along with me. And again, this prayer is just a starting place with God. The gospel, the good news, is all about Jesus, that he came, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross. God raised him from the dead. And because all of that happened, he offers to us as a gift his own righteousness, not our righteousness. God's righteousness that he gives to us, made available to us, and all we have to do is say yes. So if that's you today, I invite you to pray along with me. Maybe you're in the second category where you've said yes to Jesus sometime in the past, and today you kind of feel distant from him. God has not mad at you today. God is inviting you close to himself again. I invite you to pray along with me as well. So church, let's all bow our head and close our eyes. And let's pray this prayer out loud, praying with somebody who might be praying it for the first time, or somebody who might be rededicating their life to Christ. God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. And you raised him from the dead so I could know you. So today I say yes to your righteousness. I say yes to a relationship with you. God, I call you my Father. Jesus, I call you my Lord. God, I purpose to follow after your ways. And I turn from my own. I thank you for salvation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be baptizing our candidates here shortly. And I just want to explain to you why we pray the prayer that we pray and why we're doing water baptism. It's found here in Matthew chapter 28, which is the great commission that Jesus gave the church. And he says, and Jesus said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And you'll hear us pray that prayer here in a second. We didn't make it up. It's here in the scripture. And it says, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So what we're doing during water baptism is that these people have already said yes to Jesus. And what they're doing in this moment is they are going public with their faith. They are telling the story that they identify with Christ. And baptism just means to submerge or immerse. And that's why we have a tank here in our stage. And what's being told, what's being taught is when they go under the water, that they are showing that they die with Christ, that their sins are being washed away. When they come up out of the water, they're showing that they are new creatures in Christ Jesus, that their sins have been washed away, and they have said yes to Jesus. And we celebrate this today, amen, church? So again, we have a few older candidates, I say, older, young at heart, and then we have some students. So who is our first candidate? And then we have Michael and Leanne are coming to tell us the story of these people before we baptize them.
All right, first up, we have Michael. Michael has been attending the City Church for 3 months now. He works, yes. He works full-time as a barber and loves to powerlift outside of work. He says while his parents raised him up in faith, he never had a real relationship with Jesus. He said that the stresses of living a secular lifestyle eventually put him to the lowest point in his life. After a friend continually asked him to go to church, he opened his eyes to Jesus. He says during his very first time encountering worship again, he dropped to his knees and started overflowing with tears.
Love it. Yeah.
He finally saw that there was a God and he could put all his stresses on him. He says that Jesus saved him, and since then, his life has been full of joy and successes in Jesus' name. He's excited to practically share his faith by continuing to evangelize to his clients that are lost, depressed, and living a walk of life without Jesus. He is excited to help those in need and spread the gospel to all he can. Let's congratulate Michael today.
A couple things before we baptize Michael. First of all, he does have a really good fade because he's a barber, right? So good. You gotta have good hair. And the other thing is, you know, that the mechanics of water baptism could be done at home, right? We could all fill our bathtub and just baptize ourselves. But this is a community event. This is all of us together saying, this is my brother in Christ. Amen. And we are celebrating with him today. Amen. Michael, according to your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your desire to follow him all the days of your life, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So good. You guys, thanks, guys. Thank you.
Up next, we have Wally. Wally has been attending City Church for the past month with his brother, who is actually joining him today. He says that his favorite thing about the church is the praise and worship. And a fun fact about Wale is that he loves sports. Wale says that he knew God was real and working in his life when he almost died and God protected him. We're glad that you're still here with us today.
Yeah.
He said he wants to get baptized today so that he can continue to get closer to God. So let's congratulate Wale as he's baptized today.
Cool. So good, so good. Wally, according to your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your desire to follow him all the days of your life, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So good, so good. Absolutely, absolutely.
Up next, we have Melissa. She has been attending City Church for 7 years with her family. She loves to read and journal. Melissa says she grew up in a Christian household and originally started attending church because of her parents. Growing up, she loved learning the memory verses and messages in church. She shared that more recently, she came out of a situation in which she chose to look to Jesus above anyone else. She started praying more and reading her Bible and just looking to Jesus for guidance. She says now she finally feels like she has become a Christian by her own choice and desire. She says that this is the right time to get baptized because it's the first really big step to creating a stronger bond with God. She says it will be a reminder that God will still always be there to guide her through with open arms. Come on, let's give it up for Melissa.
Melissa is one of our students, so I thought it'd be great for our youth pastor, Michael, to do the honors of the baptism. What do you think? Amen.
Melissa, we've seen you grow so much even in the past year. I know your family is a witness to that. And I know your family in Brazil is watching as well.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. So you have a family here. You have a family in the church that is supporting you on your journey of faith. So Melissa, according to your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and your decision to follow him all the days of your life, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Parents, bring your kids to church.
Up next, we have Nathaniel. He says his favorite thing about City Church is the junior high service upstairs. He says it's really, really fun. And so Nathaniel is in grade 7 and enjoys playing rep basketball and loves video games. He says the difference being a Christian has made in his life is that he prays more. Nathaniel says he's excited to get baptized today and to continue to be a Christian for the rest of his life. So come on, let's congratulate Nathaniel.
Don't you love seeing our students get water baptized? It's so good. Nathaniel, your decision to go public with your faith, to own your faith, is a decision that is going to be an example for so many people, including your brother and many of your friends. So Nathaniel, according to your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and your decision to follow him all the days of your life, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Our final baptism at the service is Kaylin, and she loves anything that has to do with arts. She says her favorite part about church is the community, but not even just Sundays, but City Youth especially has really blessed her walk with God. She says seeing what God is doing in the lives of others and what he is doing for this church is so encouraging, and she's so grateful to be able to witness it. She says she had the privilege of being raised in a Christian household and have a wonderful mother who has always encouraged her to go deeper in her walk with God. In the past year, she felt God calling her to make her faith her own, growing to love God for who he is and finding out what it means to be in a relationship with him personally. She says she wouldn't trade the experiences she's had with God for anything. In knowing God, she found a love that is so incomprehensible that she still has trouble wrapping her head around it. She hopes to share that love with others and show them who God can be for them too. While she was baptized as a child, she feels like this baptism is an indication of her devotion to God. So let's give it up for Kaylin.
That's good. That's good. We are baptizing a future preacher. I just want to let you know. Remember this day. Kaylin, you really are a brilliant person, and just being involved in City Youth, the way God has captured your heart, we get to be a witness to that. So it's inspiring to me and to Ruth and to all of us here at church. So thank you for being on this journey, and we promise to support you on this journey along the way. So Kaylin, according to your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus and your decision to follow him all the days of your life, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Congratulations. So good. Don't you love this city, church? Amen. This is all of us together preaching as the family. It's not just the credit to me or just the worship team. This is all of us together gathering, worshiping God, giving, bringing our kids to church. All of us together are creating a community where people can come, young and old, and can say yes to Jesus. Our mission statement here is moving people closer to Jesus. Just a short form of that great commission that I read earlier. And this means a place where somebody can come in who hasn't had a relationship with God and discover one. And then when they say yes to Jesus, they can be discipled. Amen. So we celebrate this together today. So good, so good. Let's all stand up together. Our team is gonna lead us in one more song before we are dismissed today.
Aiden is so happy. That's great. Hey, if you were inspired by our baptism candidates today and you have not made the decision to get water baptized and you want to do that the next time we do it, which will be in June, you can sign up at the info desk after service and they'll give you some more information about that. As well, if you have made the decision today to either accept for the first time or re-enter a relationship with Jesus, we also want to know about that. So you can fill out the Connect card in the seat pocket in front of you, check the appropriate box, and take that to the info desk as well. Someone will be there to greet you, congratulate you, and give you some tools to equip you on your journey, okay? And in 2 weeks, remember, we've got Easter Sunday happening here. And when you came in, there was a card on your seat. If you could take that card home with you, grab a few more. They're also at the info desk. And invite your friends. Prayerfully consider who in your life needs to hear the gospel message. If you invite someone to church on Easter Sunday, it's likely that they will say yes because it's Easter Sunday. So it's a great opportunity for you to do that, okay? And one last thing, we have city school signups happening today out in the hallway. You can see a table dedicated to city school signups if you want to start that. It's happening in April 2nd, all right? Right now, we're going to have our prayer team come up to the front. If you are here and you need prayer for anything in your life, sickness, disease, anything going on in your life, you can have someone pray for you and with you about those situations, okay? Thank you for joining us for church today. We will see you next Sunday as Pastor Brent concludes his series, True Image. Have a wonderful day.